I'm just going to do an abbreviated message, and it kind of pretty much deals with some of the things that, some of the lyrics of the songs when Bob was saying, there are those among us who feel they're not worthy. I can't even read my own writing, but just, you know, that whole theme, you know, people that come in and they feel a little bit intimidated in the church, and I'm gonna address that tonight and just do a short message, one verse in Romans chapter 14, because we're going through the book of Romans. We're up to chapter 14. Just one verse tonight, and then I'm gonna have the guys come on back up. But boy, I'm all choked up. I'm thinking about my message. I just, you know, you're gonna love it. No, I'm just kidding. also, we've been here on the campus. We're gonna have our sixth anniversary on May 16th, so on Sunday. So it's going to be a great time, and we'll just kind of do, in review and some of the things that the Lord has done in the past and looking for the future in our seventh year, the year of Christ, the year of perfection as we're going into the seventh year. So you're welcome to come on out for that. And then our Holy Land tour, we're all filled up except there's two spots left. So for a married couple or a couple singles, if you want to go to Israel with us, November 20th to December 2nd, you're welcome to pick up a brochure and pray about it. But as I mentioned, there's just two slots left. And then we put people on a waiting list because sometimes people, by unforeseen circumstances, they have to back out and drop out. So if you're on a waiting list, then you can get in there and be with us on that tour. Well, why don't we open in our Bibles to Romans chapter 14? It's only one verse. It's just a very short verse. But as we've been going through Romans, I've just loved the study. And as we come into the very practical part of Romans, chapter 12 on, and we've learned last time that the law is fulfilled by our loving one another. So it's not the commandments that we have to do, the do's and the don'ts, but it's basically that positive love. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And then in Romans 13:10, it says that love does a neighbor no wrong, doesn't do wrong to the neighbor, and love is the fulfillment of the law. And so as we get into chapter 14, we're going to see what that love looks like. Especially in the body of Christ. What does it look like? I mean, a lot of the positives, but what about some things that, beating up on one another and that kind of thing? Because the title of the message is Don't Pinata the Brethren. What does that mean? Well, if you're from the North Shore, you know that I do make up words, and I haven't changed much in 100 years. But I'm using it not as a noun, but I'm using it as a verb. Don't pinata the brethren. What's a pinata all about? Oh, you decorate it, you adorn it, it's all nice, and then what do you do? Take a stick and beat it, beat the stuffing out of it. And sometimes, we get people into church, oh, we're so kind, so, oh, come to church, oh, we want you, oh, we're just a loving church. And then all of a sudden, we start beating up on them. We start kind of putting them down because they're a little bit weak in faith. And that's, notice what Paul is saying. He says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on their opinions. You see, receive or accept the person. Take that person into fellowship with yourself is what it's saying. Even the least of the brethren, that's what he's talking about. And when he says that one that's weak, well, maybe it's one that lacks confidence. There are some people that hold themselves quite well. They look very confident. Others that they're a little bit intimidated with people. Maybe he's talking about that or spiritually weak in the faith. Or it also means without authority. So somebody that comes in and maybe they feel like they're the low person on the totem pole. What do you do? Do you ignore them? Well, I can't identify with them. They're just kind of lowly. Paul's saying, hey, don't do that. It's interesting how there's a pecking order. There's a pecking order in the animal kingdom, but there's a pecking order in humanity as well. You could see that. Just live long enough and you see that. You see that there's the haves and then there's the have-nots. Sometimes there's a class warfare. We hear that a lot in politics now. You know, if you listen to some of the radio stations, the intellectual elite, and then just the average person, but I think I fit into that category. Well, looking around, most of you do too. No, I don't know, maybe some of you are really smart, but you know, just the average person, kind of that pecking order. There's those that are outgoing, and then those that are more reserved, a little bit more kicked back than others. Those that are very confident, and then those that are very timid. You see, the body of Christ makes up all kinds of people. And some people just in society, just naturally, they seem to just rise to the top. But others, well, they seem to sink to the bottom. And so you do have those risers, you have those sinkers in the body of Christ. And you see, with it, sometimes there's that sense of superiority. There's that sense, and it can be very subtle. It could just be a mind thing, and you don't really show it outwardly always, but it can be a mind thing of this superiority, and you kind of look down on those that might be a little lower down than maybe you think you are. You're higher up. So Paul's addressing that. When you're accepting somebody, don't bring them in to ridicule their opinions or maybe their lack of faith or their lack of confidence. Don't do that, he's saying. You see, we have this pecking order within the animal world. I don't know if you've ever seen this or studied this. It's quite interesting because sometimes you get the survival of the fittest. Sometimes, well, the pecking order, it's come from the evaluation of the barnyard, you know, chickens. You know, as you throw the grain out there, there's some chickens that are very aggressive. They'll peck the others because they want to get the grain first. And then you find that the others will back off until they get their chance. And so that pecking order, the very aggressive ones and the more passive ones. And you find that not just with chickens, but you find it with birds. You find it in the animal kingdom. Sometimes the survival of the fittest in the animal kingdom, that runt, you know, that can't nurse, or that runt that just seems to be the one that's picked on or one that's different. And even in the bird kingdom, the one that's different can get, you know, picked to death. The one, the runt that's young and doesn't get nourished and fed and is a little bit intimidated can get actually killed by the others in that litter. And so you get that pecking order, you get that survival of the difference, survival of the fittest. It's normal in a fallen world, but it's not normal in the church. It's the complete opposite in the kingdom of God. You see, we don't piñata the brethren. We don't pick on them. We don't bring them in and then just kind of beat up on them. Sometimes that can happen. But the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Support those that are weak. You see, I don't know if you've ever felt maybe a little bit alienated, but I know that feelings from a person where they don't feel they belong. You know, whatever situation, especially in the church, if you come into a setting and you just don't feel like you fit or you don't feel like you belong, that is a very lonely feeling. I mean, that's hard to bear. When a person feels isolated, it makes them want to retreat within themselves. And the more isolated, the more retreated they get within themselves. And they're not going to risk relationships because it's too hurtful. You see, and that Paul is kind of, you know, he's going to deal with things, eating meat and stuff. Certain people's liberty, you know, don't stumble others because you have certain liberties. He's going to deal with that. But I think in the body of Christ, you know, what I'm saying is true. You know, people that don't have a lot of social skills, and sometimes they might come in and test the water. Is this a friendly place? Because they've been hurt before. They don't want to be hurt. I was reading a story from, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of or remember, Pepper Rogers in the 70s, coach for UCLA football team. Well, they had a pretty bad season and things were pretty rough, and not only affecting the football team, but it was affecting his family, affecting his home life. And he said that my dog was my only friend. And he told his wife that a man needs at least two friends. And he said, my wife went out and bought me another dog. You see, when we come into the body of Christ and we don't find it here and we got to go home to our dog, you know, that gives us comfort, there's something wrong in the body of Christ. Let me just kind of close off with John chapter 4 and just kind of bring this to a close and bring the guys back up. Well, it's kind of a, you know, it's a long story, but I'm going to kind of abbreviate it, but it's in John chapter 4. And you know the story of the woman at the well. I feel like she was kind of an outsider. She probably really felt intimidated being around people because when you find Jesus and the disciples, they were on a journey and they came to Sychar, or this area of Samaria, and he was resting at the well, and his disciples went off to town to buy some supplies, buy food, and it was 12 noon. And this woman came out to draw water. Now, that's an interesting time because the Bible specifically says it's 12 noon because women don't draw water at 12 noon. This is Jacob's well. You see, Jacob's mother, Rebekah, she was drawing water at the normal time that women draw water, and you can find it in Genesis chapter 24, verse 11, in the evening. And so the mother of Jacob in the well he dug, she collected water in the evening. And this woman's out here in 12 noon. You know, it says something to us that she was an outcast because of her lifestyle. She didn't hang out with the other women. She went when nobody was there. And so Jesus there sitting at this well, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And she said, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, and you, a Jew, ask me for a drink? You see, the Samaritans were really outcasts. Because remember when the Assyrian captivity came into the northern kingdom, they were kind of transplanted and spread throughout other nations, and then they intermarried with foreigners. And then when they came back into the Israel area, they were camped there in Samaria, but they were outcasts. Because the southern kingdom, who went into the Babylonian captivity, they kept themselves pure. You know, they married only the Jews, but these were half-breeds. So there was a lot of animosity, and that's why she's saying, you're a Jew and you're asking me for a drink? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who was asking you for a drink, you would ask him for a drink and he would give you living water. And then this kind of bantering back and forth, and she said, well, you don't have anything to draw with and the well is deep. Where are you gonna get this living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us this well and his sons drank from it and the cattle drank from it? Are you greater than him? And Jesus said, well, if you drink of this water in this well, you're going to thirst again. But the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. And it'll be in you a well springing up unto eternal life. And then she said, oh, give me this water so I'm not thirsty again and I'm not going to have to come to this well. You see, there's something going on. There's a drama happening here. Jesus is leading her to salvation, and I believe she's flirting with him. He was tempted in all ways as we are. Has a guy ever been flirted by a girl? That's what she's doing. And he says, well, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. I'm single and available. Now that I just added that on there, but you see, that's what I'm seeing that it's saying there. You see, because that is really happening. Rick Griffin did a great the Gospel of John and the illustration by Rick Griffin, and you see that thing, the woman at the well. I thought, man, he captured that woman, and so Jesus said, yeah, you've spoken well. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with, you're not married to. And all of a sudden, she got very religious. Oh, well, I perceive you're a prophet, and our fathers, we worship in the mountain here, Gerizim, and we know that you Jews worship there in Jerusalem. And so she got very religious and started talking about religion, and Jesus said, you know, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship, but an hour is coming, and now is, where the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him in spirit and in truth. And then it really just dealt with her, and she just let down all her defenses. And you can just see this person inside, this one that was longing to know life and experience what living was. She said, well, you know, we know Messiah is going to come and tell us all things. And he said, I who am speaking with you am he. I am he. I'm the one. And she left her water pot, and she went back to that village, and she told, she began to tell them everything that Jesus had spoken to her, all that she had done in her life. And one thing that is not added there, but I think we can add, I'm not saying add to the Bible or take away from the Bible, but it's evident by this woman's reaction that you could add a little addendum. And you know what? He didn't reject me, but he accepted me. I think that was going through her heart. Can you imagine living a wayward life, looking for love in all the wrong places, and encounter a man like Jesus, the Messiah? And he accepts you. He doesn't respond to that flirting, but he brings out that very part in you that is longing for love and is longing for something that's real. And he accepted her. You see, that's true with the church, like the worshiper who worships in spirit and in truth. You see, as we're spirit-filled, as the church is spirit-filled, it should be different. There should be a sense of belonging here in the church. There should be that sense of family, that sense that you fit here, that you're accepted, that you're loved. And when you come into an environment like this, as Jesus said, the greatest that are in the church, the body of Christ, are the servants of all. Because God's not a respecter of person, and neither should we be. And so, notice, we're to accept the weak because Christ accepts the weak. And you know what? We're weak. We're weak. If we admit it or not, we are weak. And we don't bring people in to see how low they are, to make us feel high or to make us feel superior, to argue maybe with their small faith or their different opinions on the Word of God. You know, I'm not talking about heresy. I'm just talking about, as Paul is talking about, those that are weak in their faith. We don't try to quote more scriptures than they do. We don't try to put them down to make us feel high and lifted up. Not at all. You see, we're not to, you know, we're not to, what is that word? Pinata. That's right. It just totally went out of my mind. Totally went out of my mind. Don't beat up the brethren. You see, they're God's servants. And a little farther in Romans, you'll see, and God will make them stand. So I pray that we see each other on this level, not on this level or this level. Let's pray. Let's stand, and let's have the guys come on out, and they can do a last couple songs for us. Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, you just put us in our place, Lord, and we need constantly to be put in our place, Lord, and not look up to people in one sense and not think that they're so higher. We can admire the gifting that you've given them, and we can glean from that. They can be our mentors. But Lord, also, there are other people that they look at us as their mentors. So we look at each other, Lord, on that plane of equality and that realization that we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that we're to accept one another, we're to love one another. Lord, we're just to lay our lives before you, and when someone does come in, Lord, that just needs encouragement, Lord, that needs to realize that they're loved, that they have self-worth, tremendous self-worth, as they see themselves in the light of Jesus Christ and the fact that he died for them. That's how much he loves all of us. And so, Lord, I do pray that you make us better Christians. Lord, you make the churches more in your ideal. Lord, you're the head. Lord, continue to direct us. Continue to lead us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.